Chapter 15, Jesus Attends a Wedding. This chapter is based on at a household gathering in a little Galilean village, Jesus put forth his power to add joy to a wedding feast. Thus he showed his sympathy with men, and his desire to minister to their happiness. In the wilderness he himself had drunk the cup of woe, he came forth to give to men the cup of blessing. There was to be a marriage at Cana. The parties were relatives of Joseph and Mary, and Jesus with his disciples was invited. Mary, his mother, had heard of the manifestation at the Jordan, at his baptism. The tidings had brought to her mind afresh the scenes that for many years had been hidden in her heart. Mary was deeply stirred by the mission of John the Baptist. Now his connection with Jesus kindled her hopes anew. She had treasured every evidence that Jesus was the Messiah, yet there came to her also doubts and disappointments. She longed for the time when his glory should be revealed. Death had separated Mary from Joseph, who had shared her knowledge of the mystery of the birth of Jesus. Now there was no one in whom she could confide her hopes and fears. She pondered the words of Simeon, "A sword will pierce through thy own soul also." With an anxious heart she awaited Jesus' return. At the marriage feast she met him, the same tender, dutiful son. Yet he was not the same. His countenance bore traces of his conflict in the wilderness, and a new expression of dignity and power gave evidence of his heavenly mission. With him was a group of young men who called him Master. These companions recounted to Mary what they had seen and heard at the baptism and elsewhere. As the guests assembled, a suppressed excitement pervaded the company. As Mary saw the many glances bent on Jesus, she longed to have him prove that he was the honored of God. It was the custom for marriage festivities to continue several days. On this occasion, before the feast ended, it was found that the supply of wine had failed. As a relative, Mary had assisted in the feast, and she now said to Jesus, "They have no wine." These words were a suggestion that he might supply their need. But Jesus answered, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." This form of address expressed no coldness or discourtesy. In accordance with Oriental custom, it was used toward persons to whom it was desired to show respect. Christ himself had given the precept, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Both at the marriage feast and on the cross in his last act of tenderness toward his mother, the love expressed in tone, look, and manner interpreted his words. At his visit to the temple in his boyhood, Christ had said to Mary, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Now he repeated the lesson. There was danger that Mary would regard her relationship to Jesus as giving her the right, in some degree, to direct him in his mission. For 30 years he had been a loving, obedient son, but now he must go about his Father's work. As Savior of the world, no earthly ties must hold him from his mission. This lesson is also for us. No earthly attraction, no ties of human relationship, should turn our feet from the path in which God bids us walk. Mary could find salvation only through the Lamb of God. Her connection with Jesus placed her in no different spiritual relation to him from that of any other human soul. The Savior's words make clear the distinction between his relation to her as the Son of Man and as the Son of God. The kinship between them in no way placed her on an equality with him. Mine hour is not yet come. As Christ walked among men, he was guided step by step by the Father's will. In saying to Mary that his hour had not yet come, he was replying to her unspoken thought, the expectation she cherished that he would reveal himself as the Messiah and take the throne of Israel. But the time had not come. Not as a king but as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, Jesus had accepted the lot of humanity.